Official images of Aquaman, Shazam, Is the Flash movie back in the running, and a brand new trailer for Preacher, We Is Blessed.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's DC Movie News.
In the Great Hall of the Justice League, there are assembled the world's four greatest heroes, created from the cosmic legends of the universe.
Yes! We are here. We're glad you're watching. We're glad you're listening. Welcome to DC Movie News on the Popcorn Talk Network. So good to be with you. We have a lot of stuff to talk about, which is a lot of fun. We have a movie coming up in December. Yes, we still have over 6 months to wait, but that's okay. Plenty of things happening, and we're going to get right to it. So, we're at DC Movies SK on Twitter, facebook.com/DC Movies SK. Johnny LaQuasto here with you at Jay Quasto. The man right there, he's got a brand new show coming out on the Food Network, debuting this Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern. Check your local listings. It's called
Food Network star, Comeback Kitchen.
That's right. And also, he's the host of FX Movie Download on FX. Follow him everywhere at Adam Gertler. He's the silent assassin, but not today. He's Adam Gertler.
That's right, everyone. It's great to be here. What a ton of news we have to talk about.
Yes.
Really, you can feel getting close to Comic-Con. You can kind of start to see like what we're going to get at Comic-Con. And there's so much good stuff. And I got to say, like, the TV side of things is as exciting as ever. It's not just, like, three more Berlanti shows, all this. Food Network this Sunday, 9 p.m. Eastern. So I guess it could be 6 p.m. Western. It's weird with your cable.
Right.
Who knows? Comeback Kitchen. Make sure you watch because it's a competition show, and I'm competing for the first time in 10 years, which means it may be your only chance to see me. So please tune in on Sunday.
And go on your social media and tweet your support.
Oh, yes. Yes, because even if I do get eliminated, that way you can be like, oh, we want to see more of that guy.
Yeah, we need your support. We get him back on TV. And next to Adam Gertler, she is a multi-talented actress, host, moderator.
Multi-hyphenate.
Of many different cons. I mean, every good con, she's there. She's doing things. She's always wearing awesome outfits like Harley Quinn. And what else we got? How many? So many. This is Harley
this
today,
is Harley
for sure.
Today.
And you can follow her everywhere at Elena Jordan. She's Elena Jordan.
Hey, that's me. I'm Elena Jordan.
What up, yo?
What up?
Good to have you back.
So the opposite of Roxy's intros, where Roxy's just like, look at me, I'm dancing. Elena's like, hey, is it me? I'm surprised. You know what I mean?
Well, it's unfortunately, the crown jewel, she's not with us today. She's out on assignment. But of course, follow her at Roxy Stryer. And also, notably absent, is Mike Kalinowski. Mm-hmm. So, Adam, we should address this. The Ultimate Showdown.
I'm surprised Mike didn't show up today. Not.
Yeah, I know.
That's right.
So, the Ultimate Showdown this past week. If you haven't seen the episode yet, earmuff this, but it's been out for 2 days. A lot of you maybe have seen it. We took on Team Action, and it was down to the wire. Some are calling it one of the greatest overall episodes in the history of the Showdown, which we're honored by that. It didn't go our way, and Mike, I don't know, he kind of lost it afterwards.
I feel really bad about what happened. Like, obviously, Mike Kalinowski is a stronger Schmodown player than I am. That's why we're a team.
Right.
I'm happy to do it. We both spaced an Alan Rickman, and like Mike had an unbelievable round of James Bond where it was lights out, and I don't think he could see loss after that. And I think sometimes when a guy is really, really nice, when their temper goes, it comes out in a really bad way. You know, I'm like that myself, whereas like I come off as a kind of nice guy, well-adjusted, and then people who really know me, like when the temper goes, it's ugly. And I think it was a little of that. Either way, not upset he's not here.
Yeah, we don't know where he is. I tried to reach out to him. He has not gotten back to me. So as far as our fate in the Schmodown, I can't tell you. It's all disappointing, and especially because we lost a Team Action, and I told them ahead of time we were going to dissect them, and just their entire anatomy was going to get destroyed by us, and it didn't quite happen. So, but thank you for watching, and thanks for your support. We don't know what the future has in store for DC Movie News as a team and as a family. But
Batmanthony, let them know spoilers are over, please.
Spoilers are over. Let's get into it. So Aquaman images. Well, we have Aquaman image, I should say, Elena. And it's here.
Yes.
Bam.
But what we have heard is that this is one of several images, that this is not the only image. This is not the only suit. It's noticeably a very different suit. I feel like we've been seeing versions of Jason Momoa in versions of this pose since like before BBS, right?
Or in various stages of undress.
Various stages of the same thing or
which
undress.
I am not complaining about.
No. I like him with or without clothes. You know, that's like one of the nicest things you could say about someone. Yeah. I wonder if we'll
this
get to see.
This looks amazing. I think that the if all of the visuals that we have seen so far for this movie are fantastic. If the story lives up to the visuals, I think we have a top film for the year. I'm excited.
I'm so glad about how little I know about this movie. Over or under, we'll get to see Momoa without facial hair. In a flashback sort of scenario.
I don't know.
Yes, short hair and clean shaven. Yes, calling it now.
Ugh,
you
I don't
think?
Know.
But we haven't seen him in public like that, so
I don't want to see him like
last
that.
Last scenes, you're right.
I mean, maybe they can use the leftover CGI budget to remove facial hair.
Yeah, I hope they do that. Come on, you got to see this young Arthur Curry before he becomes this wastrel, before he discovers his Atlantean heritage. Like,
I know.
It's almost like
Atlantean
the
heritage.
Heritage, right? What?
Heritage.
Oh.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Batman.
Batman saving nailed your it. Butt.
I didn't get it either.
No, but seriously, like.
But it's great.
I can't wait for the epic nature of this film. I can't wait to see what Juan does with it. I'm one of the people that was really happy all the Volko, all the other Atlanta stuff was pulled out of Justice League because I didn't think you needed Zack Snyder to dictate what Juan's movie's going to look like.
Right.
You know, like, you don't need that to happen all the time. That happens a lot in the Marvel Universe, and everybody wants to see Juan's film. Do you think it's going to be, like, the title Aquaman? Is that going to be a tough sell for general public?
I don't think so.
I don't think so because of Jason Momoa, honestly. That's not a tough sell at all.
Sure, but he hasn't opened a big movie. He really hasn't starred in a big movie.
Well, then again, neither did Gal Gadot.
Yeah.
That's very true.
And you know, obviously Wonder Woman's the bigger name than Aquaman, but Aquaman's part of the Justice League. We did see him in Justice League, and it still made almost $700 million, even though it's a commercial failure, if you will, according to what WB
said. And people are excited about everybody attached to Aquaman. The director, the main actor, everything about it. So I don't think that we really have anything to worry about for that.
Sky Patterson says there is a young Arthur Curry in the film. So they might have just done a younger actor.
They definitely did a younger
actor.
And
then they cut to just the hair and the beard and this is what became
of don't shave Momoa.
If Momoa would have shaved his head and his beard, there would have been paparazzi getting plenty of that.
You're so right. You're so right. Like
don't shave Momoa.
Even if they did those shots at the end of the film, you still would have seen him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Although, maybe not. I don't know.
So, that's what we got for Aquaman this week.
Hiding in his house waiting for his beard to grow back.
Maybe.
Moving on, we have our first official looks at Shazam with Zachary Levi. He's drinking a big gulp, it looks like. And that's about as perfect as you could look for as far as Shazam's character, I would say.
This is awesome. I'm really excited, too, that they debuted this as a giant Vegas walking billboard so you can get really close to it and see the details. Because having like the little Superman-esque rivets in it, having the same type fabric, I just think it looks great. I think it is going to shut up all the haters, everybody who was kind of judging everything off of set photos.
There's haters out there? What?
Never.
So I've heard people kind of hating on the introduction. I heard Schnepp saying how he hated yesterday on Heroes on Collider, like that, like it was just a stumble, he thought, of a way to introduce the image. Like, in that it's like you don't even know what it is. It's an advertisement, and he's standing in front of it. And Zachary Levi has said, oh, well, we haven't seen an official image, and is this the first official image?
Mm-hmm.
So I can see that side of the argument. However, the memes that people have been coming up with, this image, you know, overwhelm that. And now it's the coolest way to introduce the costume. And I don't care that it looks hokey, and I think we're going to talk about the fact that Sandberg...
Shazam is kind of hokey, though, so it's totally okay.
And this is kind of harkening back to what we were talking about before when people were kind of dissing the bright colors and how it looks like a child's imagination of a superhero. It is a child's imagination of a superhero.
Yeah.
Billy Batson is the story. This is the point. So I think that it's brilliant that he idolizes Superman and that this has Superman influences. I think that it's smart that they didn't go with the stereotypical giant lightning bolt, and I know that that also was for practicality
reasons. Don't think that the lightning bolt is big?
That's what they were saying, but David Sandberg actually responded to that and said it was so he could bend and move. He had he needed functionality.
Yeah, you see, you're not even aware, like, sometimes in these movies, like, you only see every edited shot, but sometimes if you bend or turn in a costume, and you know this because you make costumes,
right?
And just the way the fabric folds
and
breaks the illusion.
It does. And on top of that, because the lightning coming from it is all CGI, if you have to think about the positioning of your CGI elements, and if you're adding in additional angles,
right,
that's going to add more work. That's going to heighten your budget when you can just literally make one costume design change and save yourself all of that grief. So, and actually, I think that's a very smart move on his part.
David Sandberg does have a quote about, you know, Shazam obviously is influenced by Superman, and his quote was, "Once pics have been released, I can tell you more about where the inspirations came from and why certain choices were made." But obviously, it's pretty clear Superman influence. And also, this is very, I don't know if you guys have heard this, there are some theories that Billy Batson has already made his debut, that he was the child interviewing Superman in Justice League.
I heard that. That would be really cute. I would like that.
Yet another thing ruined by Mustache Gate. Because every time I think about that interview, I have to think about that face. And then you've just showed it to me.
See, I didn't notice the damn mustache. I guess everyone, I wasn't even looking for it. I guess, well, if you look for it, it's like one of those weird paintings.
No offense, Johnny, but I'm glad you're not a film editor.
I'm not. No, far
Adam,
from it.
You're, for Christmas this year, I'm going to get you a CGI edited Jason Momoa clean shaven, put it next to that photo, and just frame.
He could have honestly stayed at home for a week and his beard would grow back. I'm just saying, beards grow pretty quickly. Probably. Scruff turns into a beard pretty quickly.
Do we want to show that meme?
Yes. Okay, so yes. Sandberg, who has also been on Instagram constantly, favorited this meme. If you haven't seen it, take a look.
How could you not love this meme?
It's really, really cool.
So good.
So good. There it is. Good.
BVS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, the just BVS.
Checking it out.
And what's so great about that is, like, I don't know how our image looks on your screen, but when you look at this, the picture, it's really crisp, perfectly imaged, and Shazam is just blurred enough that it makes it look so believable, and he's just drinking the drink like, oh, what's going to happen now?
I love that. I think that's so funny.
What are the odds of us getting Momoa or Levi on the show at some point?
We should try to get Levi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we should start that campaign now, and if any of the fans out there want to help us, to get Zachary Levi, we've just come up with this campaign that we're starting right now. Mm-hmm. And we're also going to try it for Momoa. I actually have a friend that says he knows him, but you never know what really that means. So if we get like 12-pack of beer.
I want to get Sandberg here.
Sandberg's great. Right, I'm a massive fan of Sandberg. Dude is hilarious. You know what? Why don't we try to get Sandberg?
Here's
what
we'll do. Amazing.
I will cut out this specific clip right now. That's like a minute of us just saying, we want these stars on our show. And we'll put it out to the universe. It's like the secret. It's the superhero secret. Yeah. We're putting it out there.
It's the super secret.
Yeah, and maybe also, Pony Smasher will watch it and be like, yo, I'll bring some cans of Coca-Cola with him, and let's do it.
And Pony Smasher was also going to be keen to the fact that it opens on Xavier Jones Jr.'s birthday, which is one of the reasons they chose that date.
Love it.
So, yeah, hopefully that all works out.
That's really cool.
And David F. Sandberg also, did you see the tweet that he had for about the actual costume itself and how he wanted it to feel like an old-fashioned superhero from the golden age of comics.
Mm-hmm.
I think that means that this is going to be something that is going to, stand
Again,
out
this
from
is
the rest.
All, this is all about tone, okay? The sandbox that we think Shazam is going to play in, family, funny, but it still has to have stakes and matter. That is always a tricky thing to do, and especially in a way that doesn't, so people aren't going to be like, oh, you're aping Marvel. It shouldn't be that. And I'm just really excited to see what he comes up with, because I think it's going to be unlike anything we've seen yet, obviously, in any form of DC Universe, EU, FU, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, I think getting Sandberg is, obviously we want to get Zachary Levi too, but I think Sandberg would be fantastic, because the dude fits right in our sense of humor, clearly.
Yes.
All right, well, we're going to start a campaign.
Yes.
And we're going to really try to make this happen. We're going to try to be more diligent about getting more people on the show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll show everybody that we had Cyborg himself on the show, and hopefully that will help us. You know, that's the thing is we got to do is we got to get that clip and show it to other people. And I'm sorry, that's inside baseball.
We'll make it happen. Kiersey Clemons has confirmed she's going to star as Iris West in the Flash movie. So guess what, guys? The Flash movie is coming back now after being kind of sort of buried at one point.
This is phenomenal. Do we actually have the video from this too? She was on Conan.
I saw this, yeah.
It was absolutely hilarious the way that she kind of talked about how she was still going to be Iris.
Really?
Well,
yeah, she because, and this also is just kind of a testament to how brilliant Conan is in general as an interviewer.
He's one of the best interviewers. I think, in my opinion, he's the best late night interviewer by far.
Well, it ended up being kind of an almost awkward moment, but it ended up just being absolutely hilarious.
Yeah.
Was here. There we go. We got it up here.
Justice League. Great, that's okay? a good turn. That's
and,
a good
no,
one.
But listen,
you were cut out of Justice League. That's why it's awkward.
I love you, and I think you're fantastic. And I want to know, is your character that was, because they have so many characters, they took you out of Justice League. Are you going to get to play that character somewhere else? Or?
Imagine if I said no. Imagine if I was like cut out of the whole thing. We talked about it though before, so that's not going to happen. I am going to be in the Flash.
Yay!
Yeah. You're in the Flash.
Yeah. I'm
she Iris says Iris. The Flash, Iris not yeah. Flashpoint.
And they're like, why are you looking? The guest.
We're really in.
You're sitting right here, so that's kind of how it goes.
Why are you looking at me like that?
I asked you questions and then turned away.
Yeah.
Are you going to be in the new Justice League?
No. Not.
There's such an art to interviewing.
So good. Yeah.
And Conan's good. Been at it 25 years on television. And yeah. You know, and don't get me wrong, I love Fallon. And obviously, Seth Meyers is amazing.
I don't think
Colbert's
Fallon would
great.
Have handled that moment as well.
No,
honestly.
Fallon's interviewing's not his specialty.
He would have been like, oh, I don't know. Yeah. I'm just.
Fallon's just an adorable human being, and everyone loves him as they should. But Conan is just, you know, he's the longest in the tooth of all the late night hosts, and it shows because he's great.
So, well, I'm really. Oh.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm really excited that Kiersey Clemons is still, you know, confirming that she's going to be a part, because I know a lot of people were really upset because when the director for Dope, I cannot pronounce his last name. I don't want to say.
Famuyiwa?
Yes. I'm going to just.
Famuyiwa. Rick Famuyiwa.
Good one.
There you go. You say it correctly. Take it. But I know when he was brought on board, everybody was really excited that because she was so great in Dope, and was kind of worried when she wasn't in Justice League that meant that she wasn't going to be in the movie anymore. So I'm glad that they still are keeping all of the other same elements and just bringing in new directors.
Yeah.
Because I think that otherwise, if they had brought in these guys and then had basically to start from scratch, I think that would have not bode well.
Yeah, I think I told you guys, I saw that the movie, was it Game Night? Game Night that they directed?
Game Night they directed.
Yeah. So funny.
And they
so,
wrote Spider-Man Homecoming, and they did such a great job with that film.
Yeah.
I gotta tell you, I will openly admit, I was not 100% that they were still going to go with Ezra Miller Flash. Like I
liked
wasn't,
Ezra a lot.
I thought it was fine. I wonder at one point, are they going to draw the line with wanting to distance themselves from the Justice League, or maybe not? It's just like, it's a weird thing, because it's like, here you have all these people who are then in that movie that you didn't really show up for. It seems like a weird thing to double down on it. However,
but here's the thing though. I don't think anyone who didn't let, keep in mind, we enjoyed Justice League. I don't think anyone who walked away, I feel like I have to say that every time because we have so many people get mad at us online. Like, you guys got to be positive all the time. We enjoyed Justice League. Calm down. But for those who did walk away not enjoying Justice League, I don't think anyone was complaining about Ezra Miller.
No, I don't think so either. I don't think anybody was really complaining about the acting at all. I think it was just because of the way that the narrative was framed when we felt like we were going to get something different. But I feel like this story, especially considering that these guys wrote a coming-of-age story, a superhero coming-of-age story, and because Spider-Man is arguably one of the most relatable characters in the Marvel universe, and Flash is arguably one of the most relatable characters in the DC universe, I feel like this is a really good fit to have these guys brought in. I think keeping this cast intact is a good move. And I know Ezra Miller also said that he had met with the directors.
He met with Jonathan Goldstein and John Francis. I almost said Francis Scott Key. No, he met with Jonathan Goldstein and John Francis Daly. this past week. And also, The Flash has also found a production designer. Mark Digby will be production designer.
Yes,
on
so
the show
this
as well.
This guy is the production designer who worked with, what's his name? Alex Garland on Dread. Mm. And also Ex Machina, one of my favorite films of the past 10 years. Like, love that film to death. What was the new one? Was it Oblivion?
Annihilation,
which I haven't seen yet.
Thank you, Batman Anthony.
Fantastic film, fantastic.
So I'm dying to see it, and it's on demand right now, so I'm going to see it. So this is all exciting. Also, realize the fact that her mentioning that on Conan, like, that stuff is very much from the studio, because they're always like, you're going to ask me this, what am I allowed to say? That is a very official Warner Brothers, this is what you can say, The Flash. It's just like, so this is definitely going into production.
It
soon.
Definitely is. Well, Ezra Miller even said when he met with the directors, he said, I met them recently. They're really, really, really cool guys. I really like their work a lot. I think they're really great. That is a five really
so many
guarantee
reallys.
Right there.
Yeah.
I feel really good about this movie.
That's a really. So this is probably going to go into production, I would imagine, like right after Wonder Woman.
I would imagine, because they, I mean, aren't they trying to push for a 2019 release?
Arguably. Yeah, yeah, but who knows what will happen with that. 2019 release? Wait a second.
Yeah, because no, weren't they... They were trying to push for this one. Yeah. I think initially was trying to go for a 2019, which is next year. I mean, they got to get moving.
I mean, if anything, end of it, maybe.
But I mean, but what about think Wonder about Woman? All Wonder of Woman the movies that they had. Yeah, both of them. They had... But I mean, think about it. They have pretty much all of the pieces in place now. Whereas, you know, you're looking at the other movies that they have in production. Because if they're trying to release two a year and they're going for Wonder Woman and Flash, that makes more sense than... Mm-hmm. You know, you're looking at what are the other films. We don't have all the elements. Well, so you have
Shazam in the beginning of 2019.
Yeah.
And then in the end of 2019, I couldn't see two more DC films in that year.
Wonder Woman's 2019, is it not?
Yeah.
Later, so.
But it's supposed to be the end, right?
Right, like where Aquaman is this year. Yeah, very end of 2019. So I would imagine the Flash is probably going to be in that, like, Shazam spot the following year.
I'd say 2020. Because you're not going to do more than, I don't think, if you got Wonder Woman and you have Shazam.
I hope you're right. I'm rooting for Elena to be right, but I just...
Well, I think that that's what they were looking for, but I don't think it's going to be done in time.
Yeah, interesting. I guess all this we will know in a couple months.
Yeah.
This is the kind of stuff that we're going to know at Comic-Con because it's a race. What's going to come out, Wonder Woman 2 or The Flash? Well, you don't want to race The Flash.
Well, don't forget, Patty Jenkins said last week that they are getting dangerously close to filming Wonder Woman and being in production. So that was kind of a hint to be like, it's happening sooner than you think.
It feels like that one's further along than The Flash, but...
Oh, for sure.
They don't invite me to these meetings, so...
Exactly. So here's something that Umberto Gonzalez, actually a rumor killer, Catwoman is not going to be a bird of prey. His tweet said...
So it wasn't curiosity, it was Umberto who killed the cat.
Yeah, there you go. He kills a lot of cats.
Batman Anthony, where was the rim shot?
He says, no, that dumb 4chan rumor is so not true. Lea Sado is not in early talks, nor on some short list for either Black Canary or Catwoman and Birds of Prey. In fact, Catwoman is not, in capital letters, even in the movie! !
I like that it said like Borat, though.
Not.
So there goes that.
I don't know too much about Birds of Prey in the comics. Are you familiar? Like, have
I love Birds of Prey.
Is it a lot of different iterations of females?
So who do you think will be the Power Three then?
Then I honestly, well, I'm hoping for Black Canary because Buck, I'm hoping that it's going to be an Ivy Canary Quinn combo.
That's the most obvious.
I think that would be the most obvious, but I also love Black Canary so much. That was the very first thing I ever cosplayed 10 years ago.
And don't you think Poison Ivy
like
needs
a Dinah Drake version though, not a Dinah Lance, not like an Arrow. Like Laurel version, like the diehard initial Dinah Drake storyline.
And don't you think Poison Ivy needs a bit of retribution?
I think so too. I really though this is you don't even want to get me on this. I'll be talking all day, but I want them to do the storyline where we actually see how messed up Joker is and what a horrible relationship this is, because this has been romanticized and idealized in basically every major iteration that we've seen, Suicide Squad being a prime example, which is one of the main issues I had with it. I know people had issues with it, but I mean, this is somebody a lot of people don't realize, one of the most forgotten moments in comics that's so twisted. As a psychological move against this woman, he dug up a bunch of bodies, dressed them in various costumes that looked like Harley Quinn, locked her up and told her that he created her identity. She wasn't the first. She won't be the last. And he's going to leave her in there to die. Mm-hmm. And this is someone that people are like, I want a boyfriend like that.
Exactly.
I want this to show the budding relationship with Ivy, have the horrible relationship with Joker, then breaking it off, and then Harley and Ivy getting together.
Thank you.
That's good. Now, what about Huntress?
And
is Huntress
involved? Plenty of room for humor in there if they want to.
Yes, tons. Yes.
Is Huntress is involved?
Yes.
I love that. I love that idea of like it being Harley's film, but really having the breakup with the Joker as the jumping off gives her a great drive for her to want to do her own capers or whatever it is.
A group of empowered women being like, leave this abusive person because you don't need it. You have this strong
support
system.
And the timing is right
for
it.
That is something that then they all kick his ass. Screen.
However, and I'm curious as to what the chat role thinks, I think it's a good idea to stay away from Batgirl and stay away from Catwoman.
Absolutely.
It probably is a smart idea to let them kind of have their own thing and not overshadow.
That's the thing. I mean, I think you can get away with an Ivy... because it hasn't really done right, but it is also very supernatural. If you do Black Canary, you can make that so it's not as
that's an underrepresented character. Also. Yeah,
but people are very familiar from the Arrowverse. Like, there have been a lot of canaries.
Yeah, but the thing is, none of them have been comic canon. They've all been made up just for that Arrowverse, which that's a true. Lot of fans of myself included was now, kind of me, like.
Those are the three that you would like. What's an alternate that you would be okay with?
don't even know. It's.
Would it have to be Catwoman, or would it, obviously not now?
You know, I really feel like I wouldn't want to see kind of the main like Batgirl, Catwoman. Batgirl maybe making an appearance, but because she's going to have her own film, hopefully, mm-hmm. I feel like you're going to potentially counteract the work that has been done on a Batgirl movie if you have her be a key character in this ensemble cast.
What do you think about Katana, who we've already seen
Katana,
in Suicide Squad?
I think would be cool, but just because typically... I don't think that she would fit in really with this.
I agree. Just throwing it out there.
I hated how Katana was done dirty in that film. You can't bring in a character and say, oh yeah, her sword sucks up the souls of her freaking victims. Like, you got to make that a thing or don't do it at all. It's too big a thought. It's too crazy and cosmic. Now people are in the chat room bringing up the idea of like, all right, so when does Birds of Prey fit in there? And somebody else said, oh, well, you're going to get Superman and Batman in 2022 and The Flash and Birds of Prey. It's like, I mean, it's already more than almost halfway through 2018.
Don't forget Suicide Squad 2. When the hell is that?
Suicide Squad 2. But it also seems like the DCEU is intentionally trying to almost inundate the market with all of these different things, almost as an attempt to try to catch up to the through line that Marvel has basically tried to craft over the past 10 years.
Yes, but they're not greenlighting them all, like, and they're not in actual production at the same time. We're just hearing about a lot of stuff. Yeah. So it's all like, and what they have said, and to their credit, is that they're going to let the film development process take however long it takes.
Well, on top of this, they're also basically bringing in directors and saying, hey, you're a great director. What do you want to do? Which was the case for Ava. Yeah.
Now, how about this from Not Your Average Bear? He says, Birds of Prey is Oracle / Batgirl, Huntress and Black Canary. Harley and Ivy should be the villains, or just call this Gotham City Sirens then.
It feels like it's going to be Harley's film, but that is a good point.
It's got to be. I mean, yeah, you're right. It's going to be Margot. It's the lead.
She's going to be the lead, definitely. And she's probably going to be some kind of anti-hero.
Yeah, of course.
100%. But I mean, if she's like producing it and she's the reason it's getting made and she's funding part of it and she's the one who's been actively looking for writers and directors for it, then it's like, yeah, give her a movie.
Just, you know,
I think Batgirl's a bad idea. I would stay away from it.
It's
too much mythology to bring up in a film out of context. I also
feel like it would keep them from making a Batgirl movie, because if, again, with a market that we have so many options, if you're like, well, we've already seen Batgirl, right, then that is no incentive to then give her own film.
Well, one thing that is a great idea is Ava DuVernay directing New Gods, and she actually was on Seth Meyers recently, and Seth asked her some questions, and she said, it's not just a superhero movie, it's New Gods, Jack Kirby's New Gods. It is sublime, so good, and she said, once people know about the New Gods, it's one of the most lush, the best one. So... whenever that's another one we got at some point.
But that, again, was a situation where they just brought in Ava, and they were like, hey, Ava, what do you want to do?
What are you doing in 2021?
You busy? We'd like you to direct a superhero movie. Yeah. And then when asked what superhero movie, it was literally her just being like, I like New Gods, let's do that.
That feels like 2021 at the earliest. It feels like it can be a huge epic. I also wanted to bring up, did we include the fact that they were talking about how they can't use the Hawk people on CW? Did we talk about that this week at all?
No.
Well, some people were saying that, like, oh, maybe the Thanagarians are going to be in a movie because the Hawk people are not involved. And I was thinking, could that fit into a New Gods film? Like, just Thanagar, because that feels like New Gods feels like it could be some on Earth, but it could also be interplanetary. And I would think, like, instead of doing like a whole Hawk film, I think featuring that planet would be pretty rad.
True.
I don't know. But yeah, so 2021 at the earliest for that.
I think maybe even later.
Yeah, it could be 20, because it feels
beginning 2022.
Feels like a big film.
It's going to be a huge film. It's going to be a big epic film.
Big time.
So, Andy Serkis, who wants to take this one?
Yeah. Well,
I'll lead in with it. So he may want in on the Batman. All right. So obviously we know Matt Reeves is attached, but recently he was asked about his interest in the Batman, and he says, oh, for sure. I mean, I'd go to the edge of the created universe with Matt Reeves. I mean, he's the most brilliant director. I would work with anything with him again. You know, I mean, I adore him and we're very good friends. And so I think he's an extraordinary director for sure.
Yeah, I think that is also, I mean, it's kind of almost a misleading thing where it's like, if you're asked, hey, would you want to work with your really good friend who's making this movie? Of course you're going to say yes. That doesn't mean he's actually going to do it. I mean, he could potentially be a villain. He could potentially do some sort of... I know some people were saying, like, Clayface, because he's really good with, like, the all of the mocap work.
Yeah.
That would be pretty dope.
I gotta say, I'm very much... He has to be Clayface. I will state my argument as such. You saw him in the Black Panther film, right? He had a great, juicy part in Black Panther. Over the top. The guy is also an actor.
He's good.
I can see him playing an aging actor, not getting the parts now because he's losing his looks. Stage actor, past his prime. He becomes Clayface. Now he can make himself 10 years younger. Who's this again? He starts to go insane. Like, that is one of the best pieces of the animated series, and That's the source material you got to go to. I remember getting one Batman annual that had four different Clayfaces, right? So there have been many iterations of Clayface throughout the years. But I don't care. You got to make this guy. He's the mocap master. Mm-hmm. You can get the best of both worlds. It's so obvious. Make it happen now.
Down.
Clay rocks.
What do you think? Is there someone else you would rather see?
No, I think that would actually be pretty awesome.
I mean, and we've never seen that. And, like, that's a cool-ass character that is supernatural, but... You know, it's more like Dark Man kind of supernatural. Mm-hmm. It's you know, there's a way to do it that maybe he doesn't actually morph his face. Maybe he's making, like, fake skins. Fuck, just get Dark Man in there. Liam Neeson, screw it.
So Michael Keaton, he gave a commencement speech. You want to play a little clip of this video? Did you get a chance to watch it?
Yeah, he did. His alma mater, Kent State, he gave the address and... Like most people do when they give a commencement speech, leave with very inspiring, important words to the graduates. So his final words to the graduates there, I think the very end of the speech, he was talking about the final words that he wanted to leave the audience.
Yes.
And those two words are, I'm Batman.
Yes!
Could you imagine, man, like you're graduating college... And those are the final two words that you're... Oh, that's fantastic. I don't even remember
who... He loves talking about how he's Batman. I was like, Spider-Man Homecoming, Batman. I'm like...
I don't even remember who the hell spoke at my college graduation.
Well, it wasn't Batman, that's for damn sure.
It was not Michael Keaton, I can tell you that much. So a couple viewers/listeners wanted us to address the whole Ben Affleck thing again. But to be honest, there's nothing new about Ben Affleck. It's still the same rumor... that he might want to stay as Batman. If we had anything more for you, we would address it further. But is there anything else we need to say about him wanting to stay as Batman?
I mean, at this point, I'm like, you need to be enthusiastic about a character like Batman. If you're this on the fence, I don't know if I want to see it. It's like, I understand that you still have contract. You still need to have something. I don't know if that means that you need to be the highlight of this film. I think maybe throw him in as a cameo in something else, a small part. Mm-hmm. Fade it out, because if you're not 100%, then I don't think that the audience should be 100% for you either.
There you go.
I'm with you. I think if you're going to be Batman, be Batman. Batman Anthony, what do you think about this?
I think you said it the best way you could. It could be said. If you want to be Batman, be Batman.
Be Batman.
If you're Michael Keaton 20 years later saying, I'm Batman at your commencement speech, that's not Ben Affleck 20 years from now saying that. I'm like, come on.
Probably not.
What a freaking ending.
So awesome. A couple quick things here. Kevin Smith said he wants Peter Jackson to make a new Justice League. That's just his opinion on things.
Well, because of the Peter Jackson rumor he was weighing in on, because there were rumors that Peter Jackson was deciding between going back to Middle Earth or doing a DC film. Seems like no-brainer to me.
Yeah,
but. He was saying that he wanted to do a DC, but he actually on the podcast, his podcast, he said that he wanted him to do a New Gods, but because Ava was doing that one, yeah, there he was go. Like, it's being done. So he said redo Justice League. Ultimately, though, they ended up just taking a bunch of, you know, fan opinions, but none of this is anything that will...
No actual news on the Peter Jackson front yet.
New. Zack Snyder, once again, being active on Vero, which we love. He now, I gotta say, this is a little bit over my head here, but he said that the Flash did use the cosmic treadmill in BVS.
Yeah, so this is actually pretty dope that this should have been more elaborated on, because the whole thing about Superman going dark and the whole thing about it is that the cosmic treadmill allows him to go back in time. So in the comics, Flash isn't the only person who uses it. Superman uses it to go back and try to save Lois, fails, causes all of these problems, and it's because of him use his own selfishness, having all of these unintended consequences and the guilt from it. Mm-hmm. That's what drives him to become the Dark Superman, which if we had elaborated on that a little bit more, right, instead of just kind of diving into it as quickly as we did and rushing that storyline, mm-hmm, then we would have seen more of this. And because initially Snyder had said that he had a 5-arc series in mind for this, right, we would have probably seen that. So the cosmic treadmill, thinking, yeah, and the nightmare sequence is a big deal because it's an indication of what could have been and what Snyder's ultimate vision was that we ultimately had truncated.
Which is still a bummer, the fact that Snyder didn't get a chance to complete his vision, but obviously we don't make those decisions. But yeah, I think you're right. I think he had an ultimate plan, and it probably was to reveal
it. It was obvious when he came out of the time thing, though, that he wasn't just in the Flash costume. So I definitely suspected something like this. I'm sure, mm-hmm, a lot of people did. It is cool to hear that. Jay Oliva, who is the storyboard artist, who also is the director of many, many DC direct films, a lot of animation, was talking about how it was meant to be this 5-part epic, ending with the 2-part Justice League. He added some comments to that during the week. He says he can't go into specifics, but it was epic, grand, emotional, joyful, and unforgettable.
Mm-hmm. And unexisting.
Now it's also add non-existent to that.
Yeah. Real quick, Wonder Woman has been confirmed to be getting a new costume for the sequel. That's pretty much all we know there. And Ray Fisher said he was open to, friend of the show, Ray Fisher.
Friend of the show, Ray Fisher.
Is open to starring in a DCEU Teen Titans. So,
there you go. Ray's just like, come on, Borg Life?
Yeah. He's up for anything.
Borg Life, guys.
Ray's like down for whatever.
That's another situation where they're like, would you want to do it? And it's like, of course you're going to say yes. Like, he's not like standing on a soapbox going, cast me.
His first movie was Justice League, and he's going to be like, I don't know if I'll be doing animation anytime soon. You know, I really like to...
I need to meditate, and I need to consult my constituents first.
Yeah, and he's not even English.
No.
So,
no, but I like that.
I think we're done with movie news. We got a lot of TV news.
Yes.
I think it's that time.
Even though she's not here.
It's time for
It's true.
Yeah.
Especially on the Food Network.
TV time.
And when you watch TV, tune in to watch Adam.
Oh, that's right.
That's
Sunday
right.
Sunday on Food Network.
So HBO, they have announced the cast for Watchmen. And yo, I was already excited enough. But damn, we got Regina King, Tim Blake Nelson, Don Johnson, hopefully wearing a white sport coat, Louis Gossett Jr., Adelaide Clemens, and Andrew Howard also mentioned as part of the cast. Yeah, man, this is enough for me. This show's enough to buy HBO Go for me.
This is crazy. Did you see... Okay, first of all, I love the age of the cast, right? Like, it seems like so far it's a lot of, like, older people, which makes me think, you know, much like it's after Watchmen. But then Lindelof had this huge letter where he wrote it as Dr. Manhattan, where he was just like, I'm reading The Watchmen. My father has given me the book right now. I'm 23 years old. I'm 32 years old. It's this whole diatribe done in the style of Dr. Manhattan doing mm-hmm. his narration when he's like remembering his human life and he's beyond that. And basically, it's a way for Lindelof to express his passion and love for the project and their desire to not adapt Alan Moore's work. They say it would be suicidal, it would be disastrous, but they are adapting the style, the essence of Watchmen.
That's so smart, because the movie was basically every shot, like the storyboard from it was the comic, which is part of why I think it was so successful and so good.
What's that, for the movie?
For the film.
Yeah, but it was also divisive in that some people felt that it was slavishly loyal to the comic, except for the giant squid, and that it wasn't contextualized in a filmic way. That's just a lot of like heady film people, what their problems are. I enjoy the film for what it is too, but this really, really excites me.
Yeah, this is going to get to go real deep. And
The Leftovers was freaking brilliant television.
Oh, yeah.
Like season one and then season two became a totally different show. Season three was a totally different show. The guy was like the main creative force behind Lost, one of like the first shows to start the modern real TV craze. You got to tune in, like, what happened, like, you know, like, before J.J. was, like, this huge director and everything, like, I mean...
So Watchmen will be a watch show.
I think it's going to be...
You're giving me really Louis Gossett!
I think it's going to be, like,
I'm watching.
Westworld level, like, I think it's going to be amazing.
Abso-freaking-lutely. Now, Elena, you want to take the next one? There's a whole bunch of Stephen Amell quotes from Arrow.
Basically, Arrow
run it down real quick.
Arrow wrapped up this season. It was a pretty solid finale. Not the best finale that they've had, but it was a really solid finale for the season. Wrapped up a lot of things. Don't want to jump too much into it in case some people haven't seen it.
Earmuff it if you haven't.
All right, earmuff if you haven't. He gets basically has to reveal
spoilers.
Don't listen. Yep. He has to reveal his identity to kind of make a deal with the FBI, and in doing so, he's going to get locked up and sent to Supermax. So that's how we end. But the thing is, Stephen Amell was at the upfronts talking about how Batwoman is going to be key in the next crossover episodes. We know Arrow is not shy when it comes to crossovers. So he also talked about how he really wants a Superman crossover because we haven't really had that yet. And so they're touching more into Superman.
Sure.
So that is something we could potentially see. He also really wants a Supernatural crossover, which after the success of the Supernatural and Scooby-Doo crossover, it's like, well, yeah, everybody wants a little bit of Cassiel in their show now. But then he's also finally going to get the goatee. That's the big thing about season 7 is he has revealed the iconic Arrow goatee. It's the reverse of the CGI removing of the facial hair.
It's actual facial hair.
Wasn't he always saying, like, this will never happen?
He was always saying it's not going to happen. He was like, it's a no-goatee.
And not to mention, Stephen Amell is also going to appear at All In, which is a massive pro wrestling event on September 1st.
Right, he's a huge fan of that stuff.
Well, him and Cody Rhodes are friends, and Cody Rhodes is the catalyst behind it. They sold 10,000 tickets in 30 minutes, so Stephen Amell's
a pretty amazing guy, too. Somebody else who's pretty amazing, too, is Colton Haynes, who plays Roy Harper, who last season he faked his own death, was joined forces with Nisso Ghoul, and we thought that was kind of all that we're going to see of him, but somehow they're going to be bringing him back. The Earth One Roy Harper is
coming
back.
Is he going to be Speedy? Like, is he going to be back doing his thing because someone will be in jail?
We have no idea. They just said he's coming back. We don't know in what way. We also know Preacher has going to release their teaser for their upcoming season 3. So we've got,
I don't think we have time to show it. Or do we have time to show it?
No, we got to move on.
We'll show it.
Real quick.
Okay.
It's 30 seconds.
It's just a beautiful teaser.
It's just a teaser.
This teaser makes me want to catch up on the first two seasons because I'm way behind.
It's brilliant. I am all caught up. I am surprised, though, because, again, a little bit of spoiler here. Spoiler, don't listen if you haven't seen season 2 of Preacher. They are focusing on all of the characters, some new characters here. And
who's the big fat guy?
Ruth Negga is here. She's back. We got Tulip here, which last season we thought that was it for her.
Oh, they're not getting rid of her. Come on now.
Clearly, we know that early on she's going to be brought back.
Yep.
Supergirl is kind of branching out here. They are potentially going to be, adding Manchester Black.
Yes. Who some people will know from the Superman versus the Elite animated film that came out like last year or the year before. Hey, I'm always down for a wisecracking Brit.
Yep.
And Supergirl has also put out a casting notice for a transgender character, which is pretty awesome. I actually got this casting alert last week and saw it on there and was like, this is pretty awesome. So I'm glad that they are going to be bringing in some, they're going to cast an actual transgender person.
I don't want to go too much into it, but there was just something about how DC films and Marvel films were kind of slammed for their lack of
LGBTQ representation.
Which obviously they're not talking about any of Berlanti's shows because he's got that in like pretty much every series.
But I think that's pretty cool that they're going to be big time bringing that to life. So,
and of course, Batman. They already said the series is going to wrap up, and so Gotham. Whatever. And there's a whole lot of Gotham stuff this past week. I think that this last season is going to get crazy insane. You're going to see a lot of characters, and they also let everyone know that you might not ever get the Joker reveal, and the series may end without it.
We may never know.
It's just a whole lot of teasing.
They're kind of adapting the Batman Zero Year, so
yeah,
you know, you may never know.
So with that said, let's all put ourselves over. Of course, follow Roxy Stryer at Roxy Stryer. Follow Mike Kalinowski at Mike Kalinowski and tell him that we miss him. And
if you want to, that last one is not required.
Yeah, definitely follow Roxy though. Adam Gertler.
Hey, I'm at Adam Gertler. Please watch Food Network Star Comeback Kitchen this Sunday and clog up the internet about it. And thanks. And then we could talk about it next week.
When I'm
back, we can say that happened.
Elena Jordan.
I'm Elena Jordan. You can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan and on Instagram at that Elena Jordan girl. I also wasn't here last week. It was my birthday and I spent it on movie fights.
We wish you a happy birthday on the show.
Yeah, I saw you guys are so sweet. I love it.
And then I was 3 days late texting you. I apologize.
But yeah, so you can check out that episode of Movie Fights. And then I also am going to be in Vegas for Amazing Las Vegas Comic Con the last week of June. So get your tickets now if you're going to be in Vegas. And I'll be in Hawaii for Amazing Comic Con Aloha the last week of August as well.
And I will mention, I see somebody's pointing out, we did not talk about Krypton. I'm sorry, I'm two episodes behind. So we're going to catch up and we'll talk about the finale.
Batmanthony, though, thought that it was an awesome finale.
Next week. I know, I'm really excited. I've been avoiding the internet about Krypton finales. I actually really like the show.
Batmanthony loved him, Krypton.
My jaw hit the floor so hard.
Which is a big jaw.
Well, I've been meaning to tell you to have that jaw rewired, Batmanthony.
It broke the floor. I am at Jay Quasto, and let's see what's coming up. If you're in Pittsburgh on August 24th, I'm going to be lead commentator for Blackcraft Wrestling's iPay-Per-View, so you can watch it anywhere in the world. But if you're in Pittsburgh, buy your tickets. They are almost sold out, which is really cool. Also, Championship Wrestling from Hollywood taping this Sunday, and a really big event Sunday, June 10th as well, if you're in Southern California. Other than that, go to jlocomedy.com. I'm going to be out of town next week, so I apologize, but I'll be back in 2 weeks. Yeah, so all that. And thank you guys so
much. So maybe
it'll
just be me and Mikey. Awkward.
Oh, boy. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We love you. See you next week.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.